Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Big tears for today.
It's a somber energy from the jump.
Because this is our last music podcast of the year, which means that it's our last music podcast because we're both graduating. And
true.
I mean, we can
now
plot
we're
about
just music guys.
Now we're just music.
We're being stripped we're like of our people. Technical authority on subjects of music. So now we're allowed to be criticized for having bad takes again. Because once the title
is
gone, it's like
good news.
Oh, you guys actually don't know anything.
I can just say whatever I want then.
That's true. Actually, there's less pressure.
But we're going to talk about some of the stuff that came out this April and some of the stuff that we've been listening to, just kind of chat.
Some
It'll
big
be
music moments.
A little less structured than usual, but that's just because we're going to try and tell you all the stuff that we want you to know before we get out of here for the year.
Yep.
So sad. All right. I think we should start with our picks from April for the two of us.
Okay.
And I can start if you want, because I've been waiting to talk about this forever. Okay. So Medium Build released the album Country, and it is like my favorite album from the year so far.
It's really, really good.
I am in love with it. I love it so much.
I think it's really funny that I didn't know Medium Build till you introduced me to him, because he's so completely up my alley and the exact type of music that I'm like really into.
It's crazy that this is like my pick and not yours. It's actually insane.
It's kind of a Fruitbat Core pick.
When I showed you this album, you were like, country? And that was like the way you said it, because I remember you looking at him, what is that? What?
I got
Why
excited.
Are you showing
I
me
got
this?
Excited
what is this?
Just from the name.
And it's so good. I've talked about this. Medium Build's voice is like right in the pocket between like sounding really good, like actually really good objectively, and like bordering the line between like that emotion you want and kind of like little cracks and like phrase here
and, like,
that are like really giving it the emotion that all of his songs
I like that it's unpolished.
Yes.
He like, I would say the most apt comparison for anyone who doesn't know him is Noah Kahan in terms of like sound and also lyricism.
Yeah.
And obviously Noah Kahan's really popular right now. So if you like Noah Kahan, I
would check
really,
out Medium
really,
Build.
I really like Medium Build. I really like this album too.
I found, and like I didn't realize this, but there are a couple different songs that I found Medium Build from. And one of them was off of the 2019 album Wild, which is Be Your Boy. And it's this really cute little song. And I never realized.
Yeah.
That they were the same person. And then a different song, Rabbit, I've played this song on our show. And I kind of like, you
That's
know when you find a song and you're like, just like kind of dipping your toes into an artist and you don't really get too much into the rest of their stuff, but that song really has a hold on you. That was me with Medium Build for a while. Was like, I would listen to Rabbit like 6 times in a row. Listen to it a few times again over the next few days and then just not listen to anything else for a while. And then I saw that this album was going to come out and I was like, all right, it's time. I'm all in. Let me know.
I'm all in.
And thank goodness.
And you are all in.
Because wow, am I all in.
Oh my, I'm kind of all in too. I think I might be in love with him. So I've been dealing with that.
Fair.
It's hard not to be, I would say.
That's the other thing is there's like, we talk a lot about aesthetics on like Gems and on this show, but it's really interesting to me that Medium Build's aesthetic is so like uncrafted that it works really well.
He's kind of just a guy.
Just a really charismatic, like wonderfully normal person in like all of the good ways. And then so funny and interesting and doesn't seem very like high on his horse. It's just really, really like refreshing to see the aesthetic that Medium Build puts forth.
I've just been, every time I've listened to songs from this album, I just stare at the album cover at his little face.
It's literally just a picture of him.
And he looks really cute.
But it's somehow a really good album cover. That little,
I love
like,
when that happens.
I'm thinking face.
When it's like a vanity picture, but also it's also a good cover. And you're like, okay, you're allowed to make the cover just a picture of you. I'll allow it.
I'll say, we're getting into like our little highlighted tracks. I think it's hard to pull off like a what feels like almost a non-intro to an album. Like it's just a song from the album, but it does really, really like open up the album really well.
I agree.
Like there's songs that are called intro that are intros and you usually don't hear them on the radio or stuff like that. Then there's like the in between. It's usually a title track or a single and it's something you've either already heard or you were expecting it because it's the title track. And instead we get Beach Chair, which I think is so good. It's so good.
That was also going to be one of my shout outs because like it was, you were playing it in the car and it was, I mean, it is the first song on the album. It's the first one I heard. And it is such a good intro. I was like the lyrics were like making me actively emo. And I was like,
I know.
Oh my God. Because it's about like loving someone, even though like the lyric is like, you ain't it, but I love you.
Uh-huh.
And that's like, there's something actually very profound about that, about being like, I think we can work on it. Like, it's okay. I'm also a flawed person, and that doesn't have to be like the death knell. I don't know. That's like, it's just like a really sweet song, and I really like that approach too.
Yeah. And it's not like, I think what's cool about it is a lot of times we take things like to the extreme, and this one's very like, a lot of these songs are very like in the middle. It's like, yeah, there's all these things that are like maybe not the best, but you're still great. Like, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good. And it's all the, like, he's really good at finding like little moments to highlight. I think early on in the track, it's like, there's one that's, I love the way you fold your body into bed. Like, that's
like a beach chair.
Yes. There you go. Like, yes, that's crazy.
It is crazy. It's really cool. Like, he has really good images.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually has a few like really strong motifs that he like will kind of focus a song around and structure a song around, which I really, really like. Like, my big shout out is Hey Sandra.
Yeah.
It was like kind of giving me like Buck Meek vibes, mm-hmm. in terms of the like sort of, Buck Meek has some songs where they're very like talk singy.
Yeah.
And you kind of like lean really hard into the like little accent,
mm-hmm.
and like capture the vibe of like a specific place in time, like in the South. And that was what this was. He's like sort of playing a character, talking about like this years long relationship with someone named Sandra, like, oh, remember when we were young?
Mm-hmm.
And like just money stuff. I don't know. It's just like, I really, really, really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think it was definitely a standout.
Like, that's the other thing that he does really well. And you were talking about this just now, like with kind of over time, like looking back at things, it's kind of lacking a sense of nostalgia the way that he does it to me. There's always like a realness in the anecdotes that he chooses to use.
Mm-hmm.
As far as like, if it's a memory of something, you're gonna get the real version of the memory that is real and maybe a little sad sometimes. You're not gonna get a version of the memory that's like glossy.
Yeah.
And it's effective. I think that's really effective.
That's true. That's a good way of putting it.
One of my favorites, all of them, but
I love them.
Knowing You Exist, I think, is so good.
It's really so cute. That and Relief.
Uh-huh.
I thought you would really like.
Yeah. Those songs hit me real hard.
Yeah.
Knowing You Exist, like, again, there's these themes kind of throughout the songs, but also throughout the album, like with Beach Chair and Knowing You Exist, there's these like really, really intimate highlights of these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And on Knowing You Exist, it's kind of just like acknowledging that literally all it takes for this person to make my day a little bit better is to know that person exists. It's like so good, and it's really effective, and the songwriting is really, really strong and like making that feel really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
As always, get like, there's also always some like little funny moments,
yeah,
that I think are really cute. This one, there's like the motif is, I just love laughing with you, I just love staring at you. And in the next verse, you get, I just love snacking with you. And then the like last one of those like four things that repeat is, I just love teasing you and calling you a bitch. And it's like, oh, I know. Where did that
when
come
I
from?
Heard that when he was
whoa.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm teasing, that's cute. And then he's like, I'm calling you a bitch.
And I'm like, huh? And it's like, okay, well.
You can picture their like dynamic from that. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I get what this relationship is like.
Yeah, it gives you like a really, really like clear insight into what's going on. And it's so good. And the instrumentals on this one make me cry because it's so simple.
Yeah.
And I'm...
I really like that song has an interlude after it and then is followed by the song Known by None,
because
there's the theme of knowing, but then also being unknown. And that one's a breakup song. And I like that too, because you do get a lot of good insight into like this breakup in a way that it's like, it's a really good breakup song. It's one that I really like. And it's just kind of about like self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of that as a theme, and like him just being like, yeah, well, now I'm known by none.
Yeah.
And there's like this sense of like resigned kind of bitterness and like loneliness and stuff to it that I just think is really, really good.
I think it's like in the song, it's like, yeah, well, you're in love with someone else, of someone I thought I could be. And that's a little bit too much for me.
That's heavy.
And it's like, that's kind of this thing that's throughout the whole album is like kind of showing up over and over again, is like you said, like being known and like really loving that you're known by this person, or knowing that that person exists, and this other side of it where it's like, I feel so alone and I feel so isolated. And that comes back time and time again, but it's really effective the whole time. And I could keep going literally the whole time, but I'll I'll slow down. I'll try and stop.
Yeah. We could rave about this for like ever. I would just say.
I really could.
I like this guy a lot and I like his music a lot.
One more thing. The music video for, I think it's Stick Around is so good.
Was that the one you were showing me? Where he's like dancing.
Yeah, it's so good. He had a song in 2022 that was I Never Learned to Dance. And it like fits this album really well, but it's not on the album. Which was a surprise to me. But in that little, like, it's so cute because he's got all these people dancing around him, but he's kind of like going through the motions a little bit and he's eating it up regardless. But it's like a really effective way to just kind of like show that he's isolated from everyone else who's like having a great old party. And he's like, yeah, sure, but like, whatever.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's really good. So country, medium build. I'm the biggest fan. The biggest fan of this album.
Me too. Okay. So for my pick, came out on the same day as this album, I think. I think it was like April 5th. I was looking forward to this album for a really long time. It's Bob Villain, Humble as the Sun.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man. Man.
It's so good.
I've been a Bob Dylan fan for a couple of years, which happened because I'm a big Bob Dylan fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then my high school friend was like, but do you like Bob Dylan? And I was like, who?
Like, huh?
I was like, are you making a joke? And it, like, the name is kind of a joke, but in a really cool way. But yeah, I've been a Bob Dylan fan for like a few years. And he's one of my favorite like British artists.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of like British rap, he kind of embodies everything I really like about that scene. There's like a little bit of like some grime stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think he's great anyway. And then this album to me is such a, it's just so satisfying.
Yeah.
And
for
like,
sure.
I haven't been able to stop listening to it.
It's so good.
I love it a lot.
I think something I like about Bob Villain is like the bluntness.
Yeah. That's,
there's like a version of, like, we were just talking about like imagery and all of this. Uh-huh. Like, Bob Villain like tends to take a different approach on the other side of that, where it's like, no, I'm kind of just going to tell you what I'm feeling, like, verbatim and leave you to sort
it's
through
so
all that mess.
Punk. It's awesome. So many of the lyrics on this album, I mean, he's a very political artist, which is why I like him so much. But a lot of the lyrics on this are about like him having found relative like music success in the past like few years and how many like record executives and stuff tried to screw him over.
Yeah.
And he just has a lot of lyrics about them trying to take advantage of him and him being like, I know my worth and I'm not gonna let them fucking rob me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's like, it's like already metal to do that anyway, but then to like write a whole album where that's like one of the main things you sing about, and he shouts out like specific executives and describes them and stuff.
Crazy.
And things that they said.
Crazy.
And I just think that's really cool.
Punk.
It is.
Yeah. I'm gonna pick Makes Me Violent. Because kind of that same thing that we were talking about, I really like the songwriting on this song. It kind of flips like what you expect from a song, and it starts with like this big thing. The first like two words of the song are literally the government. And you're like, oh, whoa,
we're getting
hold
into
on.
It.
We're really starting strong with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of like starting with like, oh, I feel bad. Here's why I feel bad. It's because of the government and the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not helping everyone else. And that makes me sad. Instead of starting that way, you get like the government. Boo. And then you like kind of pare down into like this really, really interesting like look at himself instead of looking at the government after being upset. You're like talking about it and it gets to the part where he's like, it makes me violent. And then he's like, no, so please, no violence.
Yeah.
Put your weapons away.
He's like, I get it.
And it's
Trust me, I get it.
It's so smart.
But, like,
I think it's really effective.
Yeah, it is. For someone who has a lot of like calls to action in his songs, I think that's like a really cool approach. I like that he like can cover both kind of, or like all realms of that.
Uh-huh.
And like he really, really, like this album really captures the kind of disillusion and stuff that you have to feel like living in our current world of late stage capitalism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like he just does a really good job at articulating that like frustration and stuff. Like in the song Rain, which Rain is like tentatively my favorite on the album.
It's a good song.
It's a really good one. But he literally has the lyric, repeat after me, f- queen and country, living in boxes, Lizzie lived comfy. And like I think it's really funny to like, he has like multiple lyrics on this album like shitting on the royal family, as specifically Queen Elizabeth, like post her dying,
which is wow,
which is ballsy. And I really, really like that he, like, I like that he is just like, I'm not gonna like tiptoe around this at all. He sings a lot about like police and his brother's like experience being locked up and stuff, and I just think his lyrics are kind of unmatched. I think, I mean, Humble as the Sun is the title track. I think mm-hmm. that's like, it's the intro as well. I think it is the best kind of view at what the rest of the album is about. And it is him being like, I'm not going to be humble. Like,
yeah.
I shouldn't be. And honestly, he shouldn't be. Like, I love it. And it goes with the cover.
I was going to say that, which you know we love.
Yeah, the cover is like him smiling and he's all like in a blue sky and he's wearing like his cloud sweater.
Like the little blue cloud sweater.
And his dreads are like shaped in like the rays of like the sun
it's
around his
so
head.
It's so good.
It's really, really cool.
And he's just cheesing.
He's cheesing.
Crazy.
Okay, I mean, my other shout out is he's a man.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, the whole song is just like a satire about like making fun of like lad culture and uh-huh. like he's a big tough guy and just making fun of like
he's a big tough guy and just making fun of
your average like big tough guy and how much they kind of suck and uh-huh. it's just like really, really funny. And there's like a lot of humor in this album, and I think this is a really good example of that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm gonna shout out Dream Big.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't even, like, okay, another thing you know I love is when albums know when to end.
Mm-hmm.
And this and the Medium Build album are both, like, under 13 songs.
Yeah.
Which is, like, that is eye candy to me when I see an album. If your album is over 13 songs, I'm suspicious. And if your album is more than 20 songs, I'm not
annoyed.
Excited.
I'm a little bit annoyed.
Because I don't think there are a lot of people who can tie together that many things.
That's actually going to be such a good, like, segue into what yes. we're talking about next.
And so, when you've got, like, this album is 10 songs, and you've got, like, a lot of stuff going on,
uh-huh.
but
it's like dense lyrically. Every time I listen, there's like new lyrics that I'm fixating on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't too much. It like doesn't overstay its welcome.
And I really like this one because it kind of like linearly, like it doesn't have to be linear in the storytelling or the like reasoning of the songs being in order. But this one works really well as like a beginning-ish of the like right before halfway, because it's kind of about like him dreaming big and wanting to do these things and wanting to have an effect on anything. And it's like, okay, I see you. And again, the whole album is kind of like, no, I'm not going to be humble. I'm going to talk. And so you get this look into like the version of it where it's like, okay, there was a time before you had earned the right to be braggadocious about what you're doing or to stand on your business. And we're getting like a little baby glimpse into that
mm-hmm.
before we're like, yeah, let's get back to it anyway.
Anyway.
I think it's so effective.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be one of my top albums of the year.
It's really
this
good.
I know. For certain.
This I know for certain. Okay.
Okay.
Speaking of albums that are long, really short, the next ones really are not.
The next ones are not. And I think they are a good, not to like pit two female artists against each other, but I do think it is kind of, I think comparing them works kind of well.
I think we should talk about it because it's going to happen regardless.
Yeah,
like it is happening.
And they are a good
no matter
comparison
what.
Point. Like, because, okay, it's Beyonce and Taylor Swift.
Which, yes, I'm sure you could have guessed.
Yeah. Cowboy Carter came out March 29th. So like end of March, but like basically April.
Mm-hmm.
So we're counting it as an April album.
And the Tortured Poets Department by Taylor Swift came out maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, or like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, like a week and a half ago. But yeah, Cowboy Carter by Beyonce has 27 songs, although some of them are like interludes.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like interlude little like,
or like moments,
radio things and stuff.
Four other songs.
Features. They're yeah. not like, oh, there's not 27 full songs. Whereas the Tortured Poets Department is like 30 and they're all long songs.
Yeah, it's a total of 31 songs if you're including the like 2 a.m. deluxe drop, which I am including it because it was the same night.
What a night that was.
What a night it was.
We listened to it together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember a lot of it, but what I will say is,
I remember a lot of it.
I think it's a blessing that I don't. That's what I'll say.
And okay, also, whoa. Be
sorry.
Kind.
I'm literally like, I like Taylor Swift. So I
know
feel
you.
Like
I was going to say, this I is can, actually really funny because I'm like,
yeah.
Probably going to be more of the like,
the defender.
The defender.
Which is weird.
Which is insane for this take.
Yeah, the night we were listening, I was like, Jalen, you're going to see a side of me that you haven't seen before. And it is
side.
The Swiftie, and it's going to come out a little bit. And I apologize in advance.
It did a little.
But I also think that's why I feel comfortable criticizing this album, because I like a lot of her music and I have like listened to her music since I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, I don't know. That's why I feel like I can speak on feeling very underwhelmed by somehow 31 songs can underwhelm me, which
yeah.
is kind of insane.
I think to me, I want to start with like what is like variety
mm-hmm.
and the difference in variety between the two albums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to like rip one of them apart and like put the other one on a pedestal. I think that's an ineffective way to go about this. But like, I do want to talk about some of the big differences between the two
mm-hmm.
and why they might like why some... I don't feel like I've heard a lot of people who like Cowboy Carter a lot and also like the Taylor Swift album a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The Tortured Poets Department and Cowboy Carter have so far, in my experience, been like put on, you either like them, you either like this one or you don't like, you like this one or you like this one. You don't like both of them.
Yeah.
There are, again, 31 songs on the Tortured Poets Department in all. There are not very many of them that are anything close to an interlude.
Mm-hmm.
The like average length of the song is actually longer than I expected it to be.
There were some songs that are like 4 to 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the average song length is probably like 3 to 4 to 5 minutes for the songs on this. Like, because they're kind of slower, they're like a little more like, I don't want to say R&B-ish because that's like not right. But
they're ballads. Like, a lot of them are ballads.
You can hear the like influences of maybe what she was trying to go for,
mm-hmm.
like trying to evolve from her like most recent couple of albums and their sounds and stuff. And one of those things is the songs are a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, there's like, I don't know. I think because of that and the length and stuff, it just feels like, I'm sure there are songs and lyrics and moments that I would appreciate more if they weren't kind of
buried
swamped
in this, yeah.
and buried and stuff. Because like, because the thought of going back and listening to it all the way through feels kind of like...
It's a daunting task.
A daunting task. So I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
So like... It's been hard for me to like enjoy anything from the album because it's all like kind of mushed together.
It is like it's a whole thing to try and find your like highlight tracks mm-hmm. from this album because you have to like go back through
and they,
so much stuff.
It's hard
like
to remember. They look
2 hours
together.
And the first half of the album is almost exclusively produced by Jack Antonoff.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second half of the album has a lot more songs from Aaron Dessner. And it's an interesting like switch halfway through when you're listening because I think that the instrumentals that Jack Antonoff uses are they can kind of draw on because there's not a lot going on. Something that I've always liked about Jack Antonoff before he started working with Taylor Swift was like with Bleachers, there's plenty of stuff. You get all these fun things going on. You've got fun mixing techniques being used. You've got really interesting beats and instrumentals. And between Midnights and the first half of this album, it feels like we're running out of ideas
mm-hmm.
for what to do with like Taylor Swift ballads versus like Taylor Swift upbeat songs. There's not a lot of like difference in dynamics or tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Cowboy Carter, there are a lot of changes. There's a lot of shifts. There's a lot of different things happening.
Yeah, I mean, Cowboy Carter is kind of an ode to transcending genre.
Mm-hmm.
There are like songs on it where she literally like talks about it. Like, I'm specifically thinking of Spaghetti
mm-hmm.
when it literally has the line like, some people can find genre confining, and then it just goes into like a rap song as
yeah.
opposed to the like country theme of the album, because it's her being like, I'm not gonna stick to one thing, that's the whole point of this. And so there's like, Cowboy Carter has so much variation
mm-hmm.
and so many features, and like it's a way of having an album that is like a moment, like it is a cultural moment, and it is almost more of an event than an album in some ways,
yeah,
which is the same with Taylor Swift, but doing it in a way where it feels like it's worth the hype and like you kind of do get to really experience every song and like everything that goes on, like especially
yeah.
the second act of the album has so much variation
mm-hmm.
and like there are songs like Sweet Honey Buckin and stuff that and
Yaya.
Which,
Yaya, I was
gonna
say,
like, such
I'm
a big shout out.
Say, I was like, there it is,
that like have so much variation within the song and like
yeah.
switch between genres and like tempos and stuff, and you can, I don't know, it's just like it's so much more engaging to listen to because of that.
Mm-hmm. I think the second half, to me, the second half of the Tortured Poets Department is actually like stronger because of the instrumentals that are used. We don't expect as much variation in those kinds of instrument, like in ballads where it's guitar and more traditional like acoustic instruments being used, or they're like resembling those instruments. You can actually get away with, to me, you can get away with more of the same like vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm listening to something with Jack Antonoff, I'm waiting for the thing that changes. I'm waiting for something to be new or mm-hmm. to be interesting. And because of that, the first half kind of like draws on and I'm like, okay, I don't know if this is carrying the vocals as well as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
The second half, I also think, is a lot stronger in songwriting. The first half is more of a, and this is an interesting take for me, because the first half is more of a cohesive album.
Mm-hmm.
It is more about one thing, clearly. It's very obvious. The first track soundtrack is Fortnite, and it's about these 2 weeks with this person who, I don't know, allegedly Maddie Healy, per all of the people who aren't Taylor Swift, yeah. But per Taylor Swift, she doesn't like hide things very well in this out. It's not, it's like, that's another thing.
Well, that's kind of like, get into, is like
spells everything
her,
out
her
for
mythos.
You. Which it's a little bit too much for my taste. There's Thank You Amy, which has K, I, and M capitalized, and Thank You Amy
to
show that it's
Kim
Kardashian. Yeah, but the song shows you quite clearly that it's Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck You When Your Ex-Husband comes to mind.
Yeah,
if Taylor Swift says that, I actually don't think there's another person that immediately comes to mind other than Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Yeah.
So there's like this lack of it. It feels like she kind of spells things out too much. She should trust in her audience to figure out who she's talking about, because the Swifties are committed and they would have figured it out regardless.
Immediately. Yeah. I think like this is the thing I've been thinking about a lot with this album is like Taylor Swift has such this. She has this like universe surrounding her of like the Taylor Swift cinematic universe almost.
Basically.
And like I think self-referential lyrics and stuff can be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the past she's done it in a way that feels kind of like playful and not overdone.
Yeah.
And like you can tell it really like it's something that her fans are really into.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like it can work.
Yeah.
And like I don't know, like playful lyrics about how she's like perceived by the media, whatever, that kind of thing can work for her. Like Blank Space comes to mind and
stuff. Yeah, for sure.
But like on this album it feels like that has become bigger than the actual songs.
Yeah.
Like it's more important to be the persona of Taylor Swift and create this universe and expand on this universe and like reference every little thing and every little person in her life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm like, I don't really care.
That's what, like me personally,
I want
some of it. I don't need to, like, I don't need to know everything about this.
Mm-hmm.
You can leave a little bit of it to the imagination. And for me, there's a lot of it that is, that I wish was left to the imagination, but isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so very clear what we're talking about the whole time that I'm like, okay, that's great. But
yeah, it just feels more Taylor Swift, the brand, as opposed to just Taylor Swift, who is a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
With like self-referential lyrics, and that is off-putting for me.
Yeah,
as someone who like enjoyed her music and stuff, it's just like I'm tired and I want her to like maybe shrink the ego a little bit.
Well, there's
not in a dig way, but you know,
it's when you get this big, there's like, and I see it in a lot of artists, like when you get really, really big, there's usually two directions that you go in. There's like, I'm going to change what I'm doing every time so that nobody gets comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, the Creator comes to mind. Beyonce is, again, another person who kind of does something different every time she releases a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like, how can I keep the audience I have and grow that audience without losing too many of them? And that's, it's fine if that's the choice, but I think there's a more effective way to do that and also appeal to other people if that's the goal. Like if that's the goal, then I think that this is kind of a miss for me, only because there's so much to dig through to find. Like we've talked about like The Bolter, and
I do like The Bolter.
I really like Florida. I think it's kind of a silly song.
I like it too. I think there are elements,
but there's
of humor that
stuff
I like.
Happening it makes me, I enjoy that song because of the instrumentals.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are tracks on this album
like
where
So
I'm
Long London.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean, like there's, if you like take the ones that you don't like, and that's, that can be different for everyone, but I want more of a curated experience when I'm listening to an album. And even though Cowboy Carter is so long, it doesn't feel like the skips that I'm getting are like because it was uncurated. Like if I want to skip something, which I'm not saying I do, nobody come for me, it's not because I was like, oh, this doesn't need to be here, this is stupid. It's because I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is an interlude. Maybe the next time I listen to this, I don't have to listen to that. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like there's just so much stuff on the Taylor Swift album, and so much of it is like, if I wasn't clear, it was only for 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, the first song, I remember. And I think it's interesting just that it's so much of it is so rooted in like reality.
Mm-hmm.
We're never ever like strongly removed. Nothing is ever universal with these kinds of Taylor Swift songs because everyone knows what's happening.
And it's getting more specific to her life.
Mm-hmm.
And like less about like, sometimes she creates characters and stuff. She did that a lot on Folklore and Evermore, which I think a lot of people think are her strongest records.
I am one of those
people. There are characters and stuff, so she can sort of transcend just writing about herself.
Yeah.
Because like, she's just one person. She doesn't like, every song doesn't have to be about her life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, I think in trying to kind of live up to this hype that has been created around herself and like outdo herself with every release.
Yeah.
She felt like she had to do the 31 songs and the like 2 a.m. drop of like 15 more songs. Uh-huh. And that is like, I get it. Cause it, like it, there is an excitement there, especially in the moment where you're like, she did what? But then when you actually listen, you're like, well, half of these songs don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
They could be like released later or tinkered with or something, but they just, they don't need to be here. And she's also very prolific and releases like every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, you get a little bit like oversaturated.
Yeah. And I think like my main point, because I know that people tend to think that I hesitate to say anything about Taylor Swift usually because the people who like Taylor Swift really, really, really like Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think is more important, as opposed to like loving every album that Taylor Swift releases, because there is a lot of variety there. Mm-hmm. Like there is. But I warn people to like stagnating and letting her do whatever she wants,
mm-hmm.
because it's okay to, like, she can do whatever she wants for the rest of time. But I do think that if she's trying to keep an audience, create an audience, like gather more of an audience, which is hard to do when you have 100 million monthly listeners on Spotify. But there are like albums that I've really loved from Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. And there are things that I, Folklore and Evermore are like phenomenal to me.
Phenomenal to me as well.
Amazing. And thus, I know that Taylor Swift can do really, really awesome stuff. Like there's, I'm not saying she's untalented. I'm not saying she's not a really good artist. Mm-hmm. She is. That's why this is to me a little bit disappointing, is because it doesn't feel like there's an exploration here.
Mm-hmm.
That's to me what the biggest thing is. It feels like the first half I'm listening to like a Midnights, mm-hmm. and the second half I'm listening to like some kind of strange amalgamation between like the two albums that we were just talking about, Folklore and Evermore, and like A Lover, or like
there's
something that's
elements
like
elements of that, but they're not like fleshed out.
And I like, she's done plenty of things, so it could also be difficult to find something new to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why, I mean, like, she won a Grammy and announced this album like 4 hours later, or like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
We could have, we're good. Like, most of us are okay.
Mm-hmm.
We can replay, you have replayability, as we have seen over the course of history. We will be listening to your songs for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break. Like, give us a second.
Take a breather.
Let me breathe. Mm-hmm. You take a breath. Come back and give us something phenomenal, because it's going to happen.
I know you can.
But
I've seen you do it.
That's why I think it's so important to like mention when something might not be up to par for you personally, because I'm not saying she has to care. But that's what I think I want Taylor Swift to do, is like, do your thing. Like, mm-hmm. stop worrying so much about how you can make this album like
detach from Taylor Swift, the persona, a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But long story short, there are some really good songs on the album.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboy Carter is, I really
Cowboy
like
Carter
it.
Is a no-skip album.
And I would like to see a little bit less anger for like the genre thing. That's irrelevant. Stop talking about genres.
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
We spent the whole time talking about it, and this is the first time we've really even mentioned like whether or not each album is the genre that it is. Like, you talked about like transcending genre, mm-hmm. but like, that's the point. Like, that part's fine. Chill.
Free yourself from the confines of genre, please.
I'm begging you. But I hope that Taylor Swift releases something in 2025.
I hope she takes this year off.
Like mid-2025.
Yeah, I hope like, she like
summer Taylor Swift
little,
album.
Yeah.
Like Folklore Evermore, but like crazy and different and for the summer.
And whatever the vibe that she finds for herself and explores.
Okay, well, that was crazy.
Shout out American Requiem for Cowboy Carter.
We didn't talk about it. I love it so much. Such a good song.
Really good intro. Very like poetic. And that song has like this drama to it, but there's also this like nasty little grind to it at points. And I just really, really love that.
Respectfully, shout out Jolene. The cover of Jolene is so good. I'm sorry, but it's really good.
Shout out Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Bodyguard is one of my favorite little love songs of the year. Shout out Protecting Someone in the Mosh Pit. That's one of my favorite lyrics. I think we talked a little bit about the idea of Beyonce moshing and how cool that is. Because like, I believe it.
Yeah.
I bet
that would be crazy.
I want to mosh with her. Spaghetti, we talked about. Levi's Jeans is cute. They both have a Post Malone feature.
I know.
And
which,
I like.
Which
I actually
one's the
like,
better Post Malone feature?
I don't know. I do have.
It's a tough one for you. Yeah, I know.
I do really like Fortnite. It's one of the songs on the album I do really like from Taylor Swift. But I mean, I really like Levi's Jeans.
Yeah,
it's
I knew that was coming.
Fun. Yeah. It's an unbelievable banger. Every time, literally like the intro where she's like, I'm a clever girl. Like,
meanwhile,
it's
I wait
satisfying.
To listen to
oh, yeah.
you name all. No,
sorry.
You're
sorry.
Fine. You covered all the
I'm
ones
excited.
I was. I'm happy with this.
We just had to shoehorn them in there really quick.
You're so funny. Okay. Well, Big Tears. This is it. Thank you all so much for listening to us this year. It's been a blast. It has been so fun.
It's been really fun to talk about music in a way that is like real. Well, like recorded.
Yeah.
And where I'm trying to sound articulate and coherent and not just like screaming.
It's crazy. Usually when
I didn't know I could do that.
Usually I'm just like yelling things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been really fun.
You released what? Yeah. Like that's what I would have said about both Beyonce and Taylor Swift when I saw the track list.
True.
You released how many songs? But instead, you have to be like a little proper.
A little more proper. Pinkies up, but guess what? We're putting our pinkies down.
Oh.
Because we're retiring.
You're going to make me cry.
We're soft retiring.
Soft retirement mode.
We will still, better believe we'll still be talking about music.
I just don't know if
you'll. Might not be recorded.
I was like, I don't know if you'll hear it. All right.
Just imagine that all of our takes are really good.
And then occasionally we have a really bad one.
Yeah. True.
All right. Thank you all so much for listening this year. It has been a blast. And this has been the Music Podcast.
Oh my gosh. This has been the Music Podcast.
Bye, friends.
Bye.